Bibles this morning to John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20. I'll just say this while you're turning there to John 20. I've been doing the YouTube videos of the journey through the Gospel of John. We've got one more chapter to go, and a couple of people asked, what are you going to do after that? So I'm not sure. Well, I'm going to go through the book of Romans, not spend as much time in the book of Romans, but that's next. And I decided when this COVID stuff started, I'm just going to do this. For a challenge to myself and to help to anybody that would tune in. If nothing else, I'm going to do it just for posterity. When I'm dead and gone, somebody say, well, that's what he preached, huh? And I hope that we just preach the Bible here. And just focusing on just the Bible and nothing personal, nothing political or anything involved with current events or anything. And I was talking to Nathan this week that Andrew started listening to those podcasts for a Bible class over in Cape Verde. So we got an audience around the world. But that's what I'm doing. And to be quite honest with you, I'm outside my comfort zone when I do that. Some people live their whole life in their comfort zone. They don't know what life is all about. In fact, the ministry is outside of my comfort zone. But I just decided I'm going to trust God's grace. And I learned the great verse that God gave me as a new Christian when he called me into the ministry, where Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. That's when you get out of your comfort zone, you realize I can't do it on my own. And then you realize the other side of that same promise in Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's encouraging you get outside of your comfort zone. Some people need to understand what that's all about. John chapter number 20, you found your place there. We're going to stand together in respect to the Word of God. If you're able to stand with us, stand if you will. And we're going to read this passage of Scripture. And we're going to pray and we're going to sing a song. You probably know the song, but it's just a little chorus, page number 73 in your song book. So if you can juggle two books at the same time, you can turn there. We're just going to sing that song a cappella. It's a little chorus, Only Believe, that you might know it already. I was surprised actually to find it in our song book. But John chapter number 20, and we're going to begin in verse number 19 and read through the end of this chapter. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Only believe. Father, we pray that you would bless your word this morning, I pray that you would help us as your people to believe in your promises, to believe in your truth. Belief is what brings us salvation. Belief is what brings us blessing in our life as Christians. And all the disciples so often, like us, lacked in their faith. As Jesus said to Thomas, be not faithless or unbelieving, but believing. I pray that you would bless your word now as you work in each of our hearts and lives. Give us ears to hear what God has for us today. And if there is one here today that has never believed in Christ for salvation, I pray this would be the day. This would be the moment they come to you for salvation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat if you will. Let's sing page number 73. Only believe, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe, only believe, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. I didn't hear many people singing. I'm deaf, but you need to sing louder than that. Let's see if we can sing it together. Only believe, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe, only believe, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Amen. Oh, we need to have that simple faith as a child. Believe. In Mark chapter number 9, after the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he took Peter, James, and John into the mountain, was transfigured before them. He came down from the mountain and found that a crowd had gathered around the other disciples, and a man brought his demon-possessed son to the disciples to have that demon cast out, and they could do nothing for him. The Scripture says in Mark chapter number 9, I'll just read a few verses. Verse number 19, Jesus answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when they saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowing, foaming. And he asked his father, how long ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it was has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. At least he was honest. Huh? And when he was come into the house, the disciples asked him after the healing that Jesus cast the demon out of the young man. The disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind cometh forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting is done by those that believe. In John 20, in verse number 27, Jesus said again to Nicodemus, be not faithless or unbelieving, but believing. I want to talk to you this morning about only believe. And I know that we think, well, believe in the gospel, that's for the lost people. We as God's people are faltering in our faith today. But we need to learn to believe. And we're no different than Thomas in reality. We're honest with ourselves. I want to give you a couple of things to consider, or three things actually, because I'm a preacher, everything's got to be in threes, right? The first one is this. I've never really noticed this. In all the years I've studied the Bible, in all the years that I've studied through the Gospel of John, the greatest of all the Gospels as far as I'm concerned. And John gives us the reason he wrote this Gospel in the last two verses of this chapter, that these are written that you might believe. And that believing in Christ, you might have life through His name. But I notice all through the Gospel of John, maybe more so than ever before, that John's Gospel contrasts belief from unbelief. There's a contrast in John's Gospel. That's the statement I want to give you. First of all, John's Gospel gives us a great contrast between belief and unbelief. In fact, when we say Thomas's name, we also often call him what? Doubting Thomas. You know that John's Gospel is the only Gospel that talks about John's doubting? Well, none of the other Gospels mention that Thomas doubted. Only John talks about that. That's something I never really paid much attention to before. This is the only Gospel that tells this story of Jesus appearing to the disciples on the first Sunday night, and Thomas wasn't there. The next Sunday night, I can guarantee you, he was there. He heard Jesus showed up. So the next Sunday night, Thomas was there, he was there. Only John tells this story. Only John refers to, in the story, the event of Lazarus being raised from the dead in John chapter 11. You remember that story when Jesus took his disciples back to Bethany raise Lazarus from the dead. And he was trying to convince his disciples that they need to go back to their friend Lazarus. In John chapter 11, verse 14 and 16, Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, the intent that ye might believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Then said Thomas unto him. Here's where Thomas' character shows up. And it is called Didymus unto his fellow disciples. "Let us go with him so we can die with him. We're all going to die sometime. Might as well be now." I mean, he was a happy guy, wasn't he? He was a positive thinker, wasn't he? And only John points that out about Thomas. And also in the Gospel of John, in chapter number 14, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples, sharing them with them the truth of heaven, that "I'm going to prepare a place for you." And John chapter number 14, he says, "Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." And who was it that spoke up? Thomas. "Whither you go, we know not. And how can we know the way?" And Jesus said unto Thomas and to the rest of them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me." And there again we see Thomas's doubting. John's the one that's responsible for giving Thomas the nickname Doubting Thomas. And I mentioned none of the other Gospels mention Thomas in that negative sense. In fact, there's something else that only John points out, and that is, in the next chapter, something with Peter. When Peter, of course, the other Gospels talk about Peter denied the Lord, and John points out in John 21, verse 15 through 19, where Jesus came to Peter and said, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" And Peter gets upset at the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he failed because of unbelief. And by the way, just like you and I fail because of our doubting. And I see the contrast between belief and unbelief all throughout John. And even when it comes to salvation, when he talked to Nicodemus in John chapter number 3, when he talked to the woman at the well in John chapter number 4, the contrast between belief and unbelief, and then on the part of those of us who are followers of Christ, our unbelief. In fact, after Jesus told John of his failure and convinced John, John, of course, got upset in that conversation and ended in verse number 19. But only in John's Gospel, in fact, it was before, not after, in chapter number 21, do we read of Peter's desire to quit. It's only recorded in John's Gospel. After the crucifixion, after the resurrection, before Jesus came to them in John chapter number 21. Look at verse number 3. It says, "Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing." Remember what Jesus said to Peter when he called him to be a follower? "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Leave your fishing nets behind. Leave that behind. Come and follow me." But now Peter's basically saying, I quit. This stuff hasn't panned out the way I thought it would. I'm going to go back to fishing for fish. Notice that it says, I go fishing. They say unto him, the rest of the disciples said, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered a ship, and immediately that night they caught nothing. They all said, Peter, you quit, I quit too. I don't believe this stuff anymore. They failed in their belief. Only John tells Peter's desire to quit and all the other disciples joining him. Now, maybe you're a super Christian. I know I'm not. Our unbelief often gets us in trouble, doesn't it? None of us are any better than Peter or the other disciples or Thomas. All of us are unbelieving. Otherwise, we'd be different people. This is the second thing I want you to see. Bring it a little closer to home here. We live in an unbelieving day, a faithless day. Faith is defined as foolishness in our world today. Now, in our culture today, God has been denied. He's been explained away. We live in a day today where the average person has no need for God today. Why do I need God? After all, I trust science. I should say science, falsely so-called, because true science does not contradict God. But a lot of what's called science, and we're told today to trust medicine. We trust it, you know, that's the biggest oxymoron of 2020. I trust science, and it's not about politics. Huh? It's all about politics, and it depends on whose science you're trusting. We trust in medicine. Or, worse yet, this has been a battle cry all my lifetime. Trust in yourself. Believe in yourself. Huh? You ever heard that one before? Believe in yourself. Yeah, we don't need God anymore. We're to believe in ourselves. We're to believe in everything except God. God's not allowed in the conversation when it comes to origins. You can believe anything except for God that created all things. God's not allowed at the table, so to speak. In Luke chapter number, and this has affected us as Christians more than we realize. In Luke chapter number 18, Jesus spake a parable unto them that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He gives a parable of the widow and the unjust judge. And then he says in Luke 18, verse 7 through 8, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, now this is a statement I think he's describing today. In Luke chapter 18 and verse number 8, he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? Will he find anybody that truly believes him? And we've explained away God. We don't have time for God. We've got everything figured out on our own. We don't need God anymore. But I want you to know God still blesses and honors faith. Did you catch that? God still blesses and honors faith. Believing in God. Believe, be not faithless, but believing. Hebrews 11 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. Faith is something that's concrete, something that you can hold on to. It's not a pie in the sky somewhere, or wherever they define that. Faith is something that's real. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God blesses and honors faith. If we believe in him, If we'd not be like Thomas and not like the disciples, though they were saved, they failed. How often did Jesus deride his disciples for their lack of faith, their lack of belief in all of the Gospels, but especially in the Gospel of John? And of course, we're saved by faith. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace, you know the verse. Say it with me. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by faith in Him, but we're also sanctified by faith in Him, believing in God. But we live in a faithless day today. And it affects us as Christians more than we realize. The book of Habakkuk, the book of Romans, the book of Galatians, and the book of Hebrews all make this statement: the just shall live by faith. The just, those that are saved, those that are right with God, those that want to know the blessing of God must learn to live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We can't see the person of Christ today like the disciples did during His earthly ministry. But we can have greater faith than what they had. You just have to think about that. Our faith can be greater than what the disciples had. We've got something they never had. We've got a few things that they never had. Look what He says again in John 20, verse number 28 through 30. Thomas answered and said, "And my Lord and my God." Thomas came to the realization that Jesus is everything He claimed to be. Maybe for the first time, though he trusted Christ as a Savior, he never had the faith and confidence in Christ like he did at this particular moment. Verse number 29, Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen me and yet believe." You see, our faith can be greater than Thomas's faith. Our faith can be greater than Peter's faith. And Peter defines that for us in the book of 2 Peter in chapter number 1, where Peter says, "We have not followed cunningly and devised fables, but we've made known unto you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice from Him of the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" He's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. He's talking about the baptism of Jesus, where they heard an audible voice of Jesus Christ. "And this voice which came from heaven we heard. And when we were with Him on the holy mountain," we were there, we heard the voice. But then He says this in 2 Peter 1 and 19, "But we have a more sure word of prophecy." We have something better than that. And by the way, what we have that's better than that, we hold it in our hand. It's called the Bible. "We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed unto the light that shineth in the dark place. For this scripture came not of old time by man's will, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, borne along by the Holy Spirit of God." This is God's written, spoken word for us. We have something the disciples didn't have. We have His word. We know the whole story, right? We know where it's going to end. Now, there's a lot that's going to happen between now and the end. Maybe not as much as we think there is, because we're getting real close to the end times, but we know how it's all going to end. And we're told it in the Bible. We know of Jesus' death, His burial, His resurrection. We know of His final ascension. We can see farther down than what they see, but He said, greater faith. Those that you're blessed, Thomas, because you've seen me. But those that have not seen and yet believe, they can be blessed in a greater way. Amen? Oh, what a faith. And Peter says it this way in 1 Peter chapter 1. And again, Peter was derided for his lack of faith in the next chapter, as Thomas was in this in John chapter number 20. Peter later would write in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We can't see him like John and Peter and Thomas did and the other disciples. We can't see him physically like others have, but we can have even a greater faith. We can have a greater blessing in faith because we trust him and believe. Be not believing, unbelieving, but believing. And we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, occasionally, someone, maybe a family member or someone in the community, will make a comment about myself, or maybe you've heard it said of yourself that you are a man of faith or a woman of faith, a person of faith. And I want to say, well, I have a lot of growing to do in this area of faith. Maybe in comparison, I have great faith to some others, but I'm not what I ought to be when it comes to faith. But I do know how I can grow properly, and I am working on it. I've been working on it for a long time. And by the way, Thomas and Peter, who we mentioned, are spoken of their lack of faith in the last two chapters of the Gospel of John. Both of them became great men of faith. And they're remembered today, 2,000 years later, as still as great men of faith. Thomas, this is some legend and some history. I think there's a lot of history and reality to this. Some of the legends, you're not sure how real they are, but Thomas became a great missionary. He went as far as India. In fact, there are markers even in India today that mark the place where Thomas was martyred for his faith. How exactly he was martyred, the stories alter some, but he became certainly a great man of faith. But we still think of him as doubting Thomas. What an injustice that is. That's where he was, but he grew. Peter became a great church planter. I'm sorry to disappoint some folks. He didn't become the first pope. In fact, he never even went to Rome. And if you study what the Bible says, he went the exact opposite direction as Rome. He was a church planter and planted a number of churches on his way to Babylon. And then when he was in Babylon, which if you look on a map, it's the opposite direction. When he was in Babylon, he wrote the books of 1 and 2 Peter. And he sent those letters to those churches that he planted. You can follow them on a map. These are the churches that he planted along the way. He certainly became a great man of faith. Well, how did we move from unbelief to belief? How do we move from doubting to faithfulness? The same way you and I ought to be moving that direction. Let me give you some things how we can move from unbelief to belief. From failing faith to great faith. Turn, if you will, in your Bible to Romans chapter number 10. We're going to close here this morning. Romans chapter number 10. Now, some of these statements you're used to reading in Romans chapter number 10, but I want to tie them all together to help you to see something, how we can move from unbelief to belief. The same thing's true for someone who's not saved to a person who gets saved. They make that same step as those of us that are saved grow from immaturity, unbelieving, doubting like Thomas to faithful like Thomas became a great missionary. Quitting like Peter to giving your life like Peter did in service to your King and planting churches and living for others. How do we grow from unbelief to belief? In Romans chapter number 10, we begin in verse number 8. What saith it? The word is nigh, and thee even in thy mouth and in thy heart what is the word of faith. That is the word of word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. These are great salvation verses, aren't they? This tells us how we're saved by believing in our heart by faith and confessing, agreeing with God with our mouth. And therefore we come to know Christ as our Savior. In verse number 10, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed, will not quit, will not turn away. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is open to anyone. Not just certain people, not just a certain few select, but whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Salvation's open to them. And not only is salvation open, but once we're saved, spirituality, a life of faithfulness, a life of usefulness is open to us as well. In verse number 14, how then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And I don't care what it says about your feet. I don't want to look at your feet, all right? You don't want to see my feet. That's why we wear shoes and socks, all right? But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? And he's quoting from Isaiah chapter number 53, I believe it is. In verse number 17, so then faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the what? Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Not only the faith of salvation, but the faith that makes us a person of faith, a Christian of faith, a faithful Christian. Well, how do we get from point A to point B? Let me give you, A, B, C, D, E, F to write down here this morning. How do we get from unbelief to belief, as a Christian, as well as a lost person? Well, bless God, this doesn't apply to me because I'm saved. I've trusted Christ, and I say, oh, it applies to us more than we realize. Because though we're saved, many times we're like Thomas or like Peter. Unless I touch Him, unless I see Him and put my hand in His side, I will not believe. You ever catch yourself? You probably don't catch yourself saying it, though I have heard Christians say it. But you, I'm sure, have caught yourself thinking, I will not believe. Or we'll say it the way we normally, I'll believe it when I see it. I say that all the time. I refuse to believe that. Don't be unbelieving, but be believing. How do we grow in our faith? How do we keep from quitting like Peter? How do we get from unbelief to belief? First of all, by hearing the Word of God. You see it in verse number 17. Notice it doesn't say by reading the Word of God. You know, I used to feel guilty about that because of a difficulty that I had reading. And I still would rather listen to the Word of God being read by somebody else than reading. It's best if I could read and listen at the same time. Until I got thinking about the way God says it, blessed are they that hear and keep in the book of Revelation. It says here, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And I've learned this through experience to help myself to be a better reader. I guess, than what I was when I was first saved. I learned to, when I read the Bible, to read it out loud. Now, it's best if you go to where you're not sitting next to your wife. Be quiet. I'm trying to read over here. I'm sorry. I'm going to read. Right, guys? Men kind of struggle with this more than women in general, and not always. But it's good to. And I found that my comprehension level went from 0 to about 50% when I read out loud and listened as I read. And it even increased more when I listened to someone else read while I was reading along with them. That's why God says, blessed are they that the faith comes by what? Hearing the Word of God. There's something about that. That's even scriptural, believe it or not. About hearing the Word of God. Letter B. Well, first of all, the faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Not just hearing anything, but hearing the Word of God. And then along that line, letter B, is being under the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Being under the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Most people think that Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that's enough. In reality, if you want to grow in your faith, you can't get enough teaching and preaching of the Word of God. You find a radio station. We used to have cassette tapes. Now you can find what they call them, podcasts. You can listen to preaching 24 hours a day. You have to be careful what kind of preaching it is, but make sure it's teaching strictly from the Word of God, not man's philosophies, not religious philosophies, but teaching and getting under the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And even better than that, try to teach and preach the Word of God yourself. That's the best way to learn right there. That's why I encourage other folks to teach Sunday school class, to help out in junior church, to stand up in front of folks and tell. You'll find out, boy, you take some preparation to do that. It takes some study to do that. Get under the teaching, the preaching of the Word of God. And then let her see, this is something that 20th century Christianity has all but forgotten. And that's why we have such anemic Christians today. Letter C, I said, hearing the Word of God, reading the Word of God, and teaching and getting under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. And letter C, meditating on God's Word. Meditating on God's Word. What do I mean by that? I say this all the time. I emphasize it all the time, and I hope that some folks will get it. You memorize Scripture. That's the first step. And then when you have that Scripture up here, you meditate on it. In other words, while you're driving to work, while you're doing the routine things that you do that you don't have to concentrate. I know some people have to really concentrate to walk across the room. Sometimes I'm that way. Some people have to really concentrate if they're going to chew gum and walk at the same time. Now, that's a trick for me sometimes. But there's a lot of things that you do that you don't have to be fully mentally engaged in. That's a prime time to be meditating on verses that you put up here. And meditation is when you take the verse that you put in your brain that you memorize and you make it a part of your life. It's the engrafted word that James talks about. It's where when that Word of God, I memorize it and we think, well, I got a piece of candy for memorizing the verse. But when you meditate on it, that's when it transforms your life. That's when it changes your thought life. That's when it changes the words, the language you use. That's when it changes your actions, your behavior, your reactions to other people. When you meditate on the Word of God. Now, these are simple truths that I've learned, and I'm still working on every one of these because I've got a long ways to go to be the personal faith that God wants me to be. And still many times I find myself in the category of Thomas, the doubter, and Peter, the denier and the quitter. But then, letter D is to learn to pray and believe. Not just to pray, but believe. You ever pray for something and God answers that prayer and you're surprised? That's our lack of faith. God does that sometimes just to humor us. See, if you would have only believed, or worse yet, is when you have a need and you hadn't even prayed for it and God answers that need. Not only is God rebuking me for my lack of faith, but He's rebuking me for my lack of prayer. And oh, how important it is to learn to pray and believe. The secret to believing prayer is learning to pray in His name, in Jesus' name, and in the Spirit of God is your prayer partner. And those are two things that I personally focus on. Lord, what is Your will? What is Your name? What did You want me to pray for? And then letter E, I need to finish this. Look for the unseen hand of God. Those of us who love to read history, love to study science, I'm amazed everywhere you can see the unseen hand of God in providence, in His creation, the wisdom, the might, the majesty of God. And I just learned to keep my eyes open to see the unseen hand of God. And then the last one, and none of these is more important than the other. Each one is equally important. The last one, and these are just some things that God has used to help me to build in my faith, and I've still got a lot of building to do. And that is to give Jesus everything. To be fully surrendered to Him with no reservations. Jump in without a life jacket. Huh? Jump in with no reserves. And some people just feel like, and forgive me for even mentioning it, but to tithe 10%, now we ought to be giving Jesus 100%. In fact, every coach I've ever had said, we deserve 110 or 120%. I still haven't quite figured that out. But we can give that to the sport. Why can't we give it to Jesus Christ? Give Him everything. This isn't my life, it's His life. And Peter, and that's what Jesus was talking to Peter about. And I would get ahead of myself here when Peter, in the next chapter, when Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter, they got in that discussion. And then at the end, He said, Peter, feed my sheep. When you truly are surrendered to me, then you can start to impact others. And that's what happened to Peter for those 10 days after the final ascension of Jesus, where he spent with the disciples searching the Scripture, praying and fasting for 10 days in the upper room until the day of Pentecost had fully come. And now he's fully surrendered to Jesus Christ. And now we see his faith blossoming, exploding, because he gave Jesus everything. He was holding back. Oh, do you know Jesus? Well, no, I'm really not one of his. But now, hey, I know that not only know Jesus, I'll stand in the public square and proclaim him as the only way of salvation. And I'm not afraid of my life. I'm not afraid of he has everything. He has complete control of everything. That's how we move from unbelief to belief in Him. Where's your faith? I find myself often like doubting Thomas. I find myself also like quitting Peter and denying Peter. But oh, what a difference when they moved from unbelief to belief. And we can have greater belief, we can have greater faith than they had, because we've not seen Jesus' faith. We will one day. We've not sat under His preaching, under His teaching. I've sat in some great Bible teachers, great Bible preaching. I can't imagine what it would be like to sit under the feet of Jesus and listen to Him preach and to see Him do those. But we have greater faith because we have this book and we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Oh, if we could only learn to live by faith. Only believe. Be not faithless or unbelieving, but believing. If you're here today and you've never believed on Jesus Christ to salvation, here's your opportunity to do that. If you're here this morning as a Christian, like I am sometimes, not believing in God like I ought to, I say sometimes, in reality, all the time. I want to move from unbelief to belief. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I'm going to ask you to stand.